militarize police if we're going to build community relationships, partnerships. We have to stop over-policing certain sides of town versus the other.
So this was one of the comments that came from Jonathan Green at the Citizens Police Advisory Committee the other day. There's a lot of interesting things in that meeting, and I wanted to get some reaction from the Pensacola Police Department about it. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, welcome back. When you hear people talk about militarized police and that interfering with good community relationships, how do you react to that?
Well, we have to be ready for situations that are presented to us. You know, if the bad guys had nothing but a slingshot and maybe a snub-nosed 38 they were using against the police and using it against the public, there would be no need for the big, what people call turtle suits, the big protective clothing, the vest that we wear, and maybe the armored vehicles. But that's not reality. Reality is that these high-powered long rifles are used against the police. There were five officers in Dallas that were murdered by a man at long distance with a long rifle. So we have to be prepared for situations like that, and if we did any less, we would not be serving the community like we should.
I'll always defend you guys on this, too, so you know, I just wanted to hear kind of your reaction to it. One of the other things that came up in the meeting, I thought this was kind of interesting because it struck me as the kind of thing that people who haven't done ride-alongs maybe and haven't, you know, don't have exposure to as much police activity, they ask. But they were trying to talk about the questions that they were going to ask tonight at the town hall that they're going to host over at the Bayview Community Center. And, you know, one of the questions was about use of force. And they start talking about things like when people get arrested, do they always have handcuffs on? And, well, handcuffs, is that a use of force? Isn't that a use of force? I mean, you're forcibly detaining somebody with a handcuff. And again, speaking as a police officer, how would you react to kind of those questions or clarify some of that stuff?
Well, that's policy. It's not a necessarily use of force. We do that when someone is being arrested. That's for their safety as well as the safety of the officer. So, you know, that is a policy, and that is a policy within most every law enforcement agency that there is. Again, for the safety of the person involved and the officer.
So everybody who gets arrested and goes in the back of the car, they go in handcuffs. And again, that's not considered a use of force because you're just securing them, right?
That is correct.
All right. Very good. I know one of the things you were out of town. Actually, you were at a Crime Stoppers or you were doing something for Crime Stoppers. What were you doing?
Well, it's a meeting. We have to meet three times a year at the state level. A lot of our reward money comes from a trust fund that's held by the state. And when we get a chance to go to Tallahassee to discuss that, and right now we're trying to discuss getting the rewards bumped up for violent crimes. We would like to pay more, but there's always the possibility of our trust fund getting raided, and money taken away and used in other parts or used in other ways throughout the state, and we're trying to protect that. So we go up there and we talk to folks on Capitol Hill and try to protect those dollars, and that's what we did this week.
All right, very good. And obviously I know it's a very, very useful program, for incentivizing people who would otherwise not want to come forward with their information, something that's already, you know, sometimes a challenge. I know you've been out of town, but one of the things we were talking about was we get more details now about the proposal for the gun. I don't know. Buyback's not really the right term because the city never owned them in the first place, but the gun purchase program that's going to be operated through your department. It looks like March 20th at Bill Gregory Park starting at 9 a.m., and they bumped up the amount of money that they want to pay. It's got to be approved next week by city council. 125 revolvers, 150 for semi-automatic pistols, and then $200 for semi-automatic rifles. My question, though, is it talked about destroying the guns once you get them if they don't match up against a crime gun or a stolen gun that would go back to its owner. I've had people ask me this question. If you're buying, let's say somebody comes in and sells a fully functioning AR for $200, which is crazy because they're worth way more than that, can you not then just resell them? I mean, it seems like wasted financial opportunity for some of these things.
No, we can't resell them. We're going to have to destroy those weapons, and that's the way it's been for many years. And like you said, unless they're connected to another case, so the buyback program, people have pros and cons on it, but you know, my position on it is it can't hurt anything. And if it gets guns out of homes that people don't need them anymore, that may have children or grandchildren in the home and they've been wondering what to do with that weapon, well, here's a way out. Here's a way to get rid of it. And as long as it saves one life, then it was worth it. Is it going to stop the gun violence on the street? Absolutely not. but it certainly can't hurt.
Would you be concerned as the price that is being offered as a bounty for these guns goes up that it might incentivize people to go do more of the car burglaries and looking for open doors and finding guns in the short term?
Well, that's always a possibility. But again, that's, you know, this is something that's not being proposed by the police department, and I need to keep my opinion out of that.
I understand. Hey, on that note, though, just something I'm kind of curious about because I don't know. Do you guys have very many guns that you destroy? I didn't know there was a law about that. But does that happen very frequently?
Well, it's not something that we do weekly. They build up, and then we destroy them as we can after a case is disposed of. So how many times a year we do it, I can't give that answer at this point. I can come back with that later, but it's not something that's done often.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So I know I have asked you this question before. I could not remember the answer to this question, and since it came up and I couldn't remember, I figured I would ask you again. If I get pulled over and I've got my, you know, concealed carry in the car, what do you want me to do as an officer? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to keep that to myself? Do you want me to show you my permit with my license? Do you want me to tell you? What do you want from me?
We would prefer that you let us know that you have a weapon on board and where it is and that you have a concealed permit.
Okay, so just say that when the officer comes to the door. Hi, officer, what's going on? Here's my – and you know, I've got a permit and I've got a gun in the car. I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's not something that they have to do, but that's something that's that would be nice for the officer to know.
Okay, and that actually brings up a second question. It was the same person I was talking to about this, and he said, "Well, you don't have to tell them you've got a permit. They already know that when they run your license plate. When you guys run the car's license plate, does it display anything like who's got or who does not have a concealed carry permit?"
Not the license plate. We'll have to run the driver's license and look for the carry concealed permit that way.
Okay, so but it is attached to my driver's license as a piece of information?
Yeah, and a lot of times, Andrew, the person driving the car is not the registered owner.
Sure.
So we're going to do things a step at a time. We're going to run the tag, and then we'll run the driver's license and check for wants and warrants on the person driving the vehicle.
All right, very good. That's exactly what I wanted. That's what I thought I remembered the answer was about. Be sure to tell, but I wasn't 100%, and that's why I wanted to ask again. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, Mike, is we had an event again. I think you were out of town, but I assume that you're kind of informed about it. This guy was barricaded in his house, I guess. And there was a lot of uncertainty about what was going on. Can you tell us any more about where this is? I guess charges are not being brought against him at this point.
No, he was taken as a Baker Act. You know, he reached a low point in his life, and people react different ways when that happens. And this individual reacted in a way that was dangerous. It involved a long gun, and that's why the officers responded the way they did. Anytime you have a weapon involved, you have to assume that that person may come out and fire that weapon. So we have to clear in all directions, anywhere that round could go should he fire it. So that's why the several blocks were blocked off and some people were evacuated, because we have to err on the side of caution.
And to me, you know, when I heard Keith Wilkins, a city administrator, talking about this the other day, you know, there was a threat, I guess, that there was an explosives involved. And so, again, this is back to that question we had earlier, you know, having the appropriate gear. You know, and we talk about the SWAT team, having the gear you need in order to handle a threat like that is essential. But because it was peacefully resolved, I think it's a reminder that, and just, you know, to hear you say it is probably useful for folks, the goal of SWAT is not to go in there and kill people. The goal of SWAT is to save lives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have to be ready. You know, nobody has an issue with the police department bomb squad unit wearing those big suits when they're dealing with a bomb or putting that bomb in a large, large militarized looking vehicle to get rid of it, because they know what a bomb can do. But a man with a long rifle or a gun can do the same damage to an officer, and we're not able to go beyond that area that we have blocked off. We have to stay there and deal with that situation. We have to be ready for that. We have to be ready for the gunfire, and we have to have the equipment and the vest and those type things to be able to survive that should it happen. We want to go home at the end of the day.
Very good. Oh, hey, I just got a text in from a caller. He wanted to know, it's his understanding that the law says you can't wear a mask while carrying concealed. Does that still apply these days when we're all obligated to wear masks, or do so for safety reasons if we're carrying concealed?
Yeah, that's one of those things that we're not going to arrest you for. You're not going to get in trouble for that because it's mandated in some places. You just don't. Again, we're more concerned with don't bring it into, you can't wear it when you're in a bar. You can't bring it into a courthouse, places like that. government buildings. We're more worried about that. So if you have a concealed weapon and you have the mask on and you're approached by an officer, he's not going to give you a hard time over that.
Very good. Which, I mean, of course, I know you're going to use good judgment, but that's why I wanted to get you to answer the question that the caller asked. You and I usually like to talk about a cop myth, something that typically we see on television or in the movies that is just plain wrong. Do you have one for this week?
Yeah, it's funny, since we started doing this and I'm watching these shows, and I saw one this week again to where the officer came up on some a baggie of white powder, which he believed to be cocaine. So he ripped it open and he stuck his pinky finger in there and he took it and he rubbed it on his gums.
That's not how you
do
it?
That was really cool.
That's not what you really do in real life?
Yeah, you know, they didn't give us baking soda and sugar and powder and then cocaine in the academy and make us figure out which one was cocaine. It's not that. So, yeah, that could kill the officer. That absolutely does not ever, ever happen. We have chemicals that determine right there on the spot whether it's cocaine or not. We're not going to use our gums.
Not just putting a little between your cheek and gum to figure out if it's cocaine, which I mean, I think common sense would tell you that's ridiculous, but there still doesn't mean it's not in all the movies and TV shows. Well, that's helpful. Officer Wood, Mike Wood, thanks so much for the time, as always. Thanks for helping keep our community safe and informed. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew.